Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, that song, you just, as you think of how the sin that we have done in our lives, the sin of leaving out details to make us look better, the sin of maybe even actually telling, or maybe we call it a white lie, those sins that mount up and mount up, the grace that God gave us at the cross, washed away by the crimson tide. Hallelujah. Now, this morning I want us to turn to the book of Exodus, and we're going to spend a little time in Exodus for the next few weeks in this chapter, Exodus chapter 20. Now, I almost want us to read through these verses and stop every verse and sing the chorus of that hymn. Grace, grace, God's grace. Because what I want us to recognize is so often when we look at this scripture, we think of a mean, angry despot who is carrying this big stick behind us. And I want us to recognize that that's not at all what this is all about. So let's take a look at this and what God said in the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. All right, you hear grace, grace, God's grace. All right. He took mercy on them. They were slaves. So what does this all start out with? Grace, mercy. Hallelujah. He took mercy on them. He brought them out. I am the God who did that. They weren't able to do that, were they?
No.
Hallelujah. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, get that in your mind. Grace, grace, God's grace. All right, why? Why shall we have no other gods before him? All right. It's a good idea for one. He goes ahead and he says, well, I am a jealous God. Okay? But I want you to recognize he's also the only one true God. So if you spend a lot of time chasing after all these other gods, what have you done but wasted your time? But he is a jealous God. He says, I want your heart. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about your heart. I am a jealous God. All right. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, I want you to hear that. Punishing the third and fourth generation for those children who hate me. Aha. So what happens if the second generation all of a sudden says, oh, my father made a mistake. I love God and I turn my heart back to God. What happens? Aha! It stops right there. But if the generation continues on and on for those who hate him, he will punish them and keep punishing them. Why? Why do I punish my child? Emma, why do you get punished? Can you tell me? Why is it that Papa sometimes yell at you? Well, you got in trouble, but do I want you to change your behavior? Ah, why does God punish us?
Disobedience.
He wants us to change our behavior. That's what punishment is. That is something to help us change our behavior. So do you hear that? Grace, grace, God's grace. So the next time that I punish Emma for something, I'm going to sing that after I yell at her. I'm going to sing, grace, grace, God's grace. Papa wants you to change. That's why he is punishing you. Got it? All right. Well, but guys, it's not just Emma I'm talking to. It's me and you. That's what this is all about. That's why he said, he took the time to say, this is important. I am the only God. You shall have no other gods. You shall not make an idol. All right? Now, I want you to recognize, we're reading out of the NIV this morning, and I want you to recognize, I went back and looked at the King James Version. If you quote it out of the King James, it says, thou shalt not make any graven image. Okay? When I went and looked up what graven image meant, yes, it means something that is made, carved, formed, shaped, but it also has the connotation that you are making an idol. Okay? That is the Hebrew understanding, that you are making an idol. Not that you're just making something that looks like something that's in heaven or earth. And I want us to understand that because not everyone does. And I know that when I was at one point in my life, I stopped and I think, okay, when I read this King James, it almost sounds like I shouldn't have anything that was made, carved, like I shouldn't have pictures of nature or anything like that. I really thought, because when I thought of graven image, I only thought of the things that were shaped, carved, painted. But the connotation is in the Hebrew that it is an idol. NIV pulls that out. So this time I'm going to say hallelujah for the NIV. Sometimes I get frustrated with the NIV because it doesn't always pull out those connotations. But they did an excellent job here of pulling that out. It is in the Hebrew. Technically, they are a graven image. No, technically, they're not a graven image. Because the connotation in Hebrew is what? An idol. Are you worshiping it, Johnny? Then it's not an idol. Okay? Do you understand the difference? But I didn't understand that to begin with. That's why I'm sharing this morning that in the Hebrew, graven image carries with it something that is shaped to worship. Okay? So you have to have the whole definition there. All right. So you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The Hebrews were so... you noticed I'm kind of preaching as I'm doing the scripture reading this morning, so you're not going to get it separate, so you can relax, okay? Now, for the Lord your God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The Hebrews were so worried that they might even say it the wrong way that they wouldn't even say his name. Isn't that something? They were so worried. Now, we know that we have such a loving and merciful God, but we need to respect his name. We need to understand that it is who he is. He is the great I am. He is God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is, and we go on and on of all the things that he is, and we should respect that. And we're going to talk more about each of these in as we go forward. Then remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter nor your manservant, maidservant, animals, or the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and he made it holy. Now, I want you to stop and think for a moment how hard it is for us to help our children with this understanding. Because one of the things that I remember growing up is my parents wanted for me to understand that the Sabbath was important. And so they put rules on it. What did I see? Nose, 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 nose. No cartoons on Sabbath morning. That was awful for me. Everyone else got to get up and turn on the TV and see the cartoons. But you see, they were trying to help me to understand that God wanted this time. He wanted us to spend this time with Him. Remember, He said He's a jealous God. He wants our heart. He said, I also know that you as man are going to need this time. Remember, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God didn't rest on the Sabbath, bless it, and sanctify it for himself. He did it for you and I. Now, it is a hard concept. And we need to learn how to help our children and help ourselves to make that day a special and holy day. We find there are other scriptures, and we'll talk more about those. I'm going to go into detail on each of the commandments as we go through this series. But what we need to recognize that this was because he saw you and I needed time for him. We are made in his image. And a part of that image is that he is a spirit. He gives us a spirit to live within us and dwell. When we're born again, we are given a new spirit. And you see, that spirit needs time to commune with our Heavenly Father. He says, I have built right into your schedule time. I'm the one who built it in because I knew you needed it. Grace, grace, God's grace. Hallelujah. He saw what was coming. He saw that as he created man, that man's physical limitations would need a day to stop from the physical work. And that they would need a day to take time to use the Spirit that he had placed within them. Think about it, that first Sabbath day, what did he do? He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. I can hardly wait to that day in heaven when we can just be there and think about it. Jesus is going to be right there. You know, now he's right here, but he's going to be right there. And we can walk together. But you know, in many ways, he wants to do that right now. And that's what he said. The Sabbath, I've set aside for walking with you. So let's take advantage of it. Honor your father and your mother. Why on earth would he say something like that? Why? Because Adam and Eve were the first father and mother. Who had they spent time with? With God. Who did they learn from? God. They learned some bad things from the serpent. They learned some things that they found out were mistakes. Did punishment happen? Yes. Why? So they could do better. So that they could change their ways. All right. You shall not murder. That one seems to be pretty goes without saying kind of thing. We know we shouldn't murder. We know that that's not something that God wants. And we know that if we live with people, we should uphold that. You shall not commit adultery. I want you to think of someone you know where adultery has happened in their life. What did it do to them? Was it just something that was easily shrugged off? Was it just something that had no consequences? No, there are consequences. There are great hurts that come with that. And only by both individuals turning back to the Lord and being able to do it and to be able to forgive, can they get beyond that? And it takes time. But God's hand is there to walk us through it. But I want you to realize that all of these things that he said, there was a purpose. It was so that you and I could have a wonderful life. What has he said he wants for us all along? I want you to have abundant life. Not just life, abundant life. That's what our Father wants for us. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, that doesn't mean we can't appreciate what someone else has. But that means that we can't be jealous that they got it instead of us. Do you understand the difference there? Sometimes it's awful hard to look at someone else and not kind of be jealous. Why do they seem to have this? Why don't I have that? But yet that means that we have forgotten to look exactly at what God said. I will give you what you need for your blessing. I know what you can handle. I know what you need to have experiencing in your life. And when we are coveting, we have forgotten. God is trying to bless me. And he knows what kind of blessing I'm ready to receive. Sometimes he says, not now. Sometimes he says, later. And sometimes he says, no, this is something that you can't handle. But he knows where we are in our life. He knows the progression that we're coming to. And during those times, we need to turn back and say, yes, I have a Heavenly Father who wants to bless me. And he knows what will bless me and how I can grow and what I need to experience in my life. So, Ten Commandments. Don't conjure up the big stick and an angry God. Conjure up a God who wants to bless us. Conjure up a God who is powerful. Conjure up a God who will punish because he loves us. Never forget that punishment is because of love. And you know what? He's one that's able to mete out that punishment in love. Sometimes, as a father, it's not always easy for me to keep that love just flowing when I see something destroyed. Sometimes I have reacted as a human. But my Heavenly Father, he will always react with love in his punishment. Amen? All right, I hope this has whet your appetite. I hope this is saying, I see a difference in how God wrote these commands. They weren't against me, they were for me. In fact, in Deuteronomy, when they talk about the Ten Commandments, he specifically says these were written for you. When he talked about all the Levitical laws that were placed in the side of the ark, he says they were written as a witness against you. Do you hear the difference? The Levitical laws written as a witness against you, the Ten Commandments written for you. Amen? All right. Grace, grace, God's grace. Amen. This morning I would just let you know that we'll have a postlude following this. If you'd like to come up and just pray for your lost ones in your family, just take a moment and you can come up and just symbolically lay them on the altar and just say a prayer for them before you go out this morning. Our Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers and that you tell us that the prayers ascend as a wonderful scent to you and that you gather them into a bowl in heaven. So, Father, we thank you that all of those prayers that come before you, you hear them and that you gather them up. So, Lord, we just thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.